Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. Sorry for not being as cheerful as I was yesterday. It's just, it's sleep, really. But, today it's been a bit more quiet, I suppose. Only because the Ukrainians haven't really experienced much of a resistance, at least according to official data. Of course, Mr. Girkin himself blatantly states that, oh no, it's like, not like that, and it's weird, and it's been an organized retreat, but it's been mostly a rout. Girkin here claims that all this was just an evacuation of whatever troops they could running across the border towards Russia today. And there were some, you know, tiny issues here and there, but I was looking at various maps, but then it turns out that the only map that I needed was from the Ministry of Defense of Russia, which stated that, well, basically all of Kharkiv district has been evacuated by Russians. And Girkin even stated that it's a good thing that it had been evacuated, since it is really, really bad what happened, but it could have been much, much worse. He said that yesterday evening, by the way. I really didn't go to sleep up until like 4 a.m., which is why this episode is so late and I have to record an interview with History Impossible in 45 minutes. So, you know, that's gonna come out as a properly edited one with intro music and all that stuff. But the interesting part about this wasn't with the massive success. No, that was yesterday. Today, I more or less looked at the reviews about everything. And like a lot of people have said, me included, I think that the real threat to Putin's regime does not come from all these liberals or all the people that he imagines being the threatening ones. In this situation, what happened was that yesterday was not only the biggest failure of the Russian army since forever, basically, but also the Moscow Day. And, well, they had a massive concert, and they had this ginormous mega fireworks show, and they even advertised that it had 25,000 blasts in it. It's super big and beautiful and nice. Except that, after all these ultra-patriotic people who had bought into Putin's propaganda about how Ukraine is evil and how they need to fight this war to save Russia, which is all nonsense, obviously, but, you know, they bought into Putin's propaganda, and then they felt like Putin had betrayed him. And, you know, the stuff that I read on all sorts of media, wow, a lot of people were really, really rude. And saying such things about which, you know, any standard decent human being would go to prison in Russia instantly. They're angry at Putin. They're angry at the government. They feel betrayed because a lot of videos, a lot of things here are basically statements like, what did they celebrate? This is awful. People are dying there. And a lot of people also are worried about the collaborators. You know, because they think they're the good guys, and now they're getting into trouble and all that stuff. But for the most part, as most people pointed out, especially Wagner Group and the guys from Donetsk and Luhansk. And I mean, this is kind of tragic, unless it, you know, wouldn't be in the sense that those are Russians and they're invading Ukraine. But it is still bizarre, because apparently a lot of people were super angry about the fact that, like I've mentioned before, the Russian army lacks basic supplies of, well, anything and everything humanly possible. And, you know, they're being responded that the army doesn't have money and all this stuff, that everything's lacking. And then they see this massive celebration with all these expensive fireworks and all that stuff. And for a long time, long, long time, there were no comments by the official figures. And when they came out, that was an extra kick, because, for example, the only thing Sergei Shoigu, the Minister of Defense, stated today publicly was that, congratulations on the International Tank Drivers Day. No, I'm not kidding. That's literally his only statement. He hasn't said anything about all the situation. And then the official ministry statement was that, no, we didn't run away. This was a planned retreat. Yes, we were doing this on purpose. Absolutely. Meanwhile, everyone around was just blatantly bashing their heads in, both on Ukrainian and on the Russian side. Because, well, I think that the pro-Russian people now kind of understand more how Ukrainians and Latvians and everyone in the Baltics, how we feel about Russia constantly. They're just not used to the fact that Putin's government is constantly lying and cheating you and being threatening. And I think some of them are feeling this for the first time when they have these strange feelings that maybe Putin, maybe those guys who wanted him down, maybe they had something about this. And even Ramzan Kadyrov, I don't know what got onto him, but even his Chechens apparently got him very angry, since even Ramzan Kadyrov, out of all the people you could imagine on this planet Earth, and go listen to my Ramzan Kadyrov episode to understand why I didn't think this was possible, but even Ramzan Kadyrov criticized Putin. Yes, it's to that level. Putin himself today refused to meet generals. Just refused. No meetings happened. Meanwhile, Russian propagandists just don't know what's going on. I mean, the TV ones. Margarita Simonyan, who had been calling the fact that Ukrainians as a nation should be shot, now suddenly posts republished kind of, you know, retweets materials, except on Telegram, calling for some sort of unity among peoples and everything. And, oh, could we only have peace? Yeah, well, now they want peace because they don't know what's happening. What I predict now is, because today there was basically no fighting everywhere Ukrainians went, for the most part, some skirmishes maybe somewhere, but today apparently was just quick movements, quick retakes of multiple places, Russians just scrambling around and everything, and now, well, they're trying to kind of stabilize the front line and figure stuff out. Their morale is in the gutter. They're comparing this to World War II. That's their most favorite scenario. They compare Ukrainians to Nazis in 1941 and all that stuff, and they hope that the whole country can bring stuff together so that Russia can win. But, you know, I think for the first time ever, in a long, long while, your average Russian who is just living with Putin's propaganda, I think he's starting to believe that maybe West and Ukrainians and everyone else is kind of, maybe not exactly like their propaganda says. Maybe there's something to it. Now, granted, most of these people who criticize Putin are criticizing him for not being harsh enough and everything like that. But something just shifted. I think that this is, in retrospect, if I look at it now, the most important thing that happened throughout all of yesterday, besides the specific victories and cities and everything. I think Putin's image just cracked. No, it's not damaged yet, but you can see the laminated glass pane on his face. Someone just smacked it with a mallet. I don't think he has a solution to this. Mobilization is too late, and, I spoke to some people, and turns out that no one's allowing Putin to even think about using nukes, because they very firmly understand, both through private conversations with NATO partners and everything else, that that would mean just their death, and no one's that insane. I mean, rampantly using nuclear weapons was, by the way, one of the reasons why Khrushchev was pushed aside, so that kind of calms me down. But those are the army guys. The use of strategic weapons, nuclear weapons, have been like touted around in Telegram channels all the time, constantly. And yeah, but all this has gone a bit strangely differently, because yesterday in the evening, the guys in Telegram stated that, oh no, we have spotted Ukrainian group that had entered Russian territory, stole some military vehicles and left. And that was funny. Everything that I've seen today is absolutely mind-boggling for me. I don't know what Putin will do, because I haven't seen Putin be like this ever. And even though there are some attempts, by some very few people on channels to say that, no, okay, our government screwed up and it's Ukrainians are winning, but we must support Putin at any cost. And then, yeah, pro-Russian people are just telling him to shut off. Even Girkin, who, even though legally doesn't criticize Putin, he just says that he wants to leave everything that he has to say about this asshole at the for the end of the war. But again, they're not fighting for their own rights or their own liberties. Besides, you know, there's an election happening right now in Russia. Technically, they're electing some governors. Nobody cares and that won't matter. But, ladies and gentlemen, comrades, this is going to be crazy. Now, what I predict is going to happen is massive crackdowns, obviously, on those bloggers, and a lot of my sources might get shut off, and, well, then we'll stick to Ukrainian sources. But the situation is so weird that, I don't know, it's too late for mobilization. It won't fix anything. Even the most optimistic of pro-Russian sources that 2 days ago were laughing about the offensive in the south, in Kherson, they're saying that this is close to catastrophe, and something must be changed fundamentally. It's in a way, yeah, it's kind of like this cracking sound, and I'm stunned as well. And again, haven't slept much, have been just working all the time. But I think that, as weird as it may seem, for some of those people, like I said before, this is maybe the first sign that the image of their that they've seen in their propaganda of Putin and of everything, that it might actually be wrong. And, and in some channels, which were super optimistic, they also praised Girkin. Girkin himself is in utter doomer mode. And no one knows what to do. And some of these people are just raging and threatening that they'll definitely come back. And, also Ramzan Kadyrov did that too. Ramzan Kadyrov, in his usual Don style, publicly stated that, of course, we will be back, Don, and I promise concrete good results. No, he won't. Nothing's going to be like it was before. But how this is going to turn out, I don't know, because this also affects a lot of people on the ground lines, because, you know, these channels that I read to make the show, to give you this, you know, spy perspective from what the crazies on the other side are doing, yeah, that's being written, those are being written and read by people on the ground. Those are not some abstract nobodies. Those are real people on the ground, sometimes war correspondents, sometimes real Russian soldiers. So this whole idea that they are thrown out and that what casualties they have are just not admitted, yeah, they're going to be a lot more, maybe even panicky ways how to get out of this army, because at this point everyone's talking about the fact that, yeah, maybe we should, you know, get out of this army and maybe we should go join Wagner or something, because a lot of rumors are spreading that one of the reasons why there is no casualties since March by the Russian side and everything is that Russia just does not have the money to pay back to the soldiers, because obviously oligarchs have stolen all of it. No. They, of course, think that Putin is also working with the West and that we are also the devil. But at this point, us being the devil, now that I'm used to, Putin being criticized this much, that's a whole different story, really. There's also this uncertainty in the air, and people are just really scrambling. I'm going to be watching a lot of the situation as it turns out this evening, because I want to know what the Ukrainian side is planning for the future. But to be honest, it's kind of hard to plan for this. What do you do? Because everything that has happened so far has been Ukrainians arrive and Russians just literally run away. And although some analysts claim that this was an organized retreat, by all the signs that we've seen from how the vehicles have been left there and everything, yeah, that's that doesn't look organized one bit because of all the stuff that's been left there. Which is also kind of funny, but this came from a Ukrainian Ukrainian Daily Observer. This was Naki Orestovich. I think I've used him before. Sorry, let me check. Like I said, I am so going to sleep. But Oleg Zhdanov, yes, he's a respectable person. He's been providing good data, and I couldn't find it myself because my site is blocked and I couldn't find the correct one. But apparently, there are calls for the United Nations ambassador of Russia. Someone just thought about what to do next. So apparently, the guy from Russia who is in the United Nations wants now to go and make a Security Council meeting to call for a return of all their vehicles and tanks that have been illegally stolen from them. That literally sounds too dumb to be true, and I couldn't verify it, but the source was legit, and, well, if it's actually gonna happen, then you'll see. However, I'm pretty sure that wherever Oleg Zhdanov heard it, from his own Russian sources, maybe, and maybe this was on the panicky idea level, yeah, that's certainly plausible. Everyone is at a loss, because no one of them thought that they could actually lose. I'm very thankful to Ukrainians for instilling this feeling in them. And again, although today's episode is a bit weird, again, because of not sleeping everything, and I'm recording in a half an hour, so yeah. All in all, the situation is pretty good, because things have kind of shifted sides. Seems to me like Russians are feeling like the rest of us did on February 24th. That's it for today. До свидания, товарищи, and thanks to you, all you listeners of mine. And if you want to check the daily updates, they're on Twitter, normally, except today, because today I was calling people and doing some active work. But yeah, soon, very soon, I'm going to publish this interview that we're doing with Alexander in about an hour or so. It's going to be fully edited. And of course, news updates coming. I hope that all news will be as pleasant for me and, you know, actually nice, although it takes a lot of effort and work to make them, but still, as they were today. До свидания, товарищ. And remember, happiness is mandatory.